Just push play? Fucking A.
It's been a while since you did that one.
It's, yeah, it comes into heavy rotation every so often and then falls away.
All right, it's been a while since we've done this, so there's a lot to go over. So we can't have like a long rambling intro this time.
Okay, so quick and dirty.
Yeah, you've got 30 seconds to be funny. What you got for me?
I was going to like just catch up with you. I mean, we've not seen each other in a while either.
Yeah, I've been sick. I was sick for a week and like it was in my throat, like it was a sore throat. So like I couldn't even have recorded a podcast if I was like wanted to push through it because I couldn't talk. Like
okay.
If I started talking, I just like started coughing.
And, is it
like,
contagious?
It's gone now. Like okay. I'm good now. Like it started two Sundays ago and just like lasted all last week, which is why I canceled the podcast last week.
Appreciated.
And so, it cleared up pretty much by like a couple days ago. I think I want to say Tuesday.
Okay. And the key things are your roommates sick?
No, neither of them got sick.
That's all I care about. Yes. The virulence is all I want.
Yeah, no, neither of them got sick. So I managed to keep it to myself and didn't spread it around. Someone at my office had like flu symptoms, but that wasn't me.
Okay.
So I survived.
Did you get your flu shot?
Yes, I got my flu shot. PSA, get your flu shots. All right, that's how we're starting. It's informing everyone why we're sick, or I was sick and you were out. Like we had a couple weeks in between recordings, but we're back and we're better than ever.
It's a gamer. Da-da, we're here. It's a gamer. Da-da, that's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for years, and sometimes I can get the title right. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
Yeah! Pow, pow, pow. I was doing finger guns in the air.
Oh, I saw it, and I was like, I know what he's doing, guys. It's not worth describing. You can imagine it already.
Well... This is a better intro than we had previously. I'm not going to go into the last.
I've already forgotten it. I can't wait.
I love how you come up with these stupid intros that just make my head hurt when I'm editing it. And then you just even completely forget what you did.
That's right. You have to edit. And so you have to probably listen to each part. And what do you want to cut? What do you want to keep?
Yeah.
So I could torture you right now. I never realized that. The power.
The thing is, I also have the power because anything stupid you say, I can keep in. You don't. There's no guarantee I take it out.
Oh, I didn't care about that part. I just cared about you have to listen to it. You can't avoid it. Can release it and cut out parts. But
I have to listen to it in the first place. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Let's just get into it. We've got a lot to talk about because it's been 3 weeks since our last recording.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was. Yeah. Okay.
So first up, Harvey Z Snaps. I give my pal here a choice between two things, and he has to snap one out of existence like Thanos. And this week I'm prepared. I have an idea this one. And I'm giving you an opportunity to nerd out about something we don't normally nerd out about on this podcast.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you your choices. I'm gonna be interested to see what you end up saying. So on the one hand, the WWE.
Oh boy, I was worried. Are you gonna?
Other hand, the AEW.
Okay. As soon as you said that, and I was like, he doesn't know, does he? Oh, he knows both companies.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so tough. Because, full disclosure. I grew up on wrestling. I love wrestling. Harvey Z loves the theatrics, the pageantry. I've been watching it since I was a child. Like WWE, WWF, WCW, all of it I'm familiar with.
NWO, I think.
NWO was a group inside of WCW, which later got absorbed into WWE. It's still, anyway, but yes, I know I can geek out about it, but nobody outside of like our generic Johnson would like understand wrestling.
I mean, but this is an opportunity to talk about it. Like, so I don't know much about wrestling. I just know that the AWE is like a new
AEW.
AEW. I said it right the first time.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
All Elite Wrestling. Yes.
It's a new company or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a it's broken away and it's invested in by Tony Khan, mm-hmm. who is the son of
the Jacksonville Jaguars,
owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so they're bankrolling the whole thing. And it's sort of following the model of like old school WCW, which was run by Ted Turner back in the day, because mm-hmm. they need somebody to pay the bills and keep the lights on and everything. And so a lot of it is based in Florida. There's a lot of merchandising with tie-ins with the Jacksonville Jaguars and everything. But it was created by a group of wrestlers who are younger, not as big and established in the WWE, but more indie, established either on the indie scenes or in New Japan.
And so one of the people is someone you've talked about on this podcast before, which is Kenny Omega, right?
Yes, Kenny Omega. So the group is called The Elite. It's made up of Kenny Omega and his two friends, who are wrestlers in their own rights, going under a tag team of the Young Bucks. Mm-hmm. So those were the original three. They would release web episodes back before that stuff was cool, like several years ago, just simply like travel blogs of themselves, like traveling to Japan and back. And then they started putting it on YouTube, and they had like a small following and nobody really cared about it. Then they joined a supergroup in Japan called Bullet Club, sort of like the NWO of Japanese wrestling, made up of gaijin. So like usually the foreign wrestlers in like a badass bad guy group. Gotcha. And so once they became in that, they still released their videos, but now they had a bigger audience. And they happen to be video game nerds, very geeky folks. At least Kenny Omega is. And so that's why I keep introducing him to you, in the sense that it kind of ties into the video game world, which is your interest.
Yeah. And recently he became sort of a smash hit on the internet because he came in on an intro dressed as Sans from Undertale.
Yes, I had no idea who he was, to be honest. Like,
but the internet went crazy over it.
Yeah. It was on. So AEW now started releasing episodes on Wednesday. So they do one show a week on like TNT, which used to have WCW. They got some of the old models there and stuff for like licensing and such with Tony Khan bankrolling. So they release one episode a week on Wednesday on TNT. So if you wanted to check it out. And so on their Halloween episode, they all came out in costume. So the Young Bucks, I believe, came out as Ken and Ryu.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which they had done in a previous pay-per-view as well. And Kenny Omega came out in this skeleton-headed guy. And I was like, I don't know who this is. And then later the internet filled me in on Sans.
Well, all that history is very nice, but which one are you going to be snapping?
Because this is the problem. AEW is all young, independent folks who aren't really, they haven't had careers as the WWE is the franchise. I've grown up on it, 50 years of stories at this point. Mm-hmm. They own everything. They are the monopoly.
Maybe it's time for a fresh start.
I mean, AEW is doing exciting things, and two favorite wrestlers from WWE have gone over into AEW. But if I snap it out of existence, it's all gone.
Yep.
However, the WWE machine will keep on going. And at this point, like, So I'm subscribed to the WWE Network. It's like Netflix for wrestling. And every month I get a pay-per-view. I pay $10 and I have access to the archives. So all the old things. Mm-hmm. I don't end up watching all the old stuff. So I'm basically paying $10 a month for a pay-per-view. And that's it.
What's a pay-per-view normally?
Back in the day as a kid, a pay-per-view was like $50.
Okay.
I don't know what it is like now, but... It's still like if you ordered it from like... It's like UFC or stuff like that. You'd have to order it a subscription channel kind of thing. And they're still way more than $10. So I'm like, it's still a good deal. But I remember being a kid and like going to like Blockbuster Video or Video Update and getting like 99-cent like wrestling tape rentals and such. Which is sort of what this place does. You pay them $10. You have access to all the old pay-per-views. So should I want to watch a match, I can.
Interesting.
The only problem is that they don't include the newest stuff, because the newest stuff is on Fox Now and USA channels.
Gotcha.
And I actually don't own a TV. There's some
sort of licensing thing. Yeah.
So the old episodes are released like 2 to 3 months later, it'll go on their website. And by then, the stories have moved on. It's not worth, for me at least, to watch it. Generic, I've ran into and told him about AEW. He likes AEW. He's planning on watching that stuff. He doesn't like WWE because, again, it's... WWE feels generic for a lot of people. Yeah. I don't mind it. The cliches are there. They're okay. I like the storylines. There's a lot going on. AEW has potential, but I'm gonna crush it.
You go with the machine, the big company, huh? You don't like the startups. I don't like mom and pop wrestling. You got to go for Amazon wrestling, huh?
I mean, like, yeah, like AEW is exciting because wrestlers are writing the storylines. Wrestlers are, it's guys in the business. So it's more locally owned, if you will, and closer to it. But Vince McMahon has been writing and he's a very controlling guy. I mean, it's sort of, I don't know how to make a video game reference. Is it like Nintendo and like the head of Nintendo? But if that guy controlled every game that was made and everything had to go by him, potentially, versus like an indie development company. But WWE, I know it'll satisfy me every time. It's like General Tso's chicken. It's not amazing and like authentic, but it's good. And you know what you're going
to
get.
Okay. Well, this was your chance to like branch out and maybe get some good in with like the indie guys.
I know.
And maybe
for promotions.
Yeah, oh. Promotional stuff. But no, you went with the machine.
The machine doesn't care about us.
All right. Well,
I will say, though, you might like AEW just because of the Kenny Omega tie-ins and stuff. I'll still try to like
get you. You're going to try and get me into it still.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Even though it's gone, you still want me to watch it.
Well, so I'll tell you about it, and then I've destroyed it, and then I'll just tell you, oh, but the things that it could have been. Oh, but I ended it. It was me. That's a wrestling reference. Yes, it's a wrestling reference for the WWE one fan out there.
All right, so as we mentioned in the intro, it's been 3 weeks since we recorded anything, so a lot of news has happened. So I am bringing back a segment that I introduced when we started our season 2 called Topic Thunderdome.
Oh, I wasn't expecting this to come back.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good format because I've got a lot of news stories.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to get to decide. We're going to go through them lightning quick.
Okay.
I mean, lightning quick is
subjective,
but we're not going to spend like 20 minutes talking about each of these topics. But we're going to go through, and I've just got it's mostly news stories. I threw in a couple games I've been playing as well, because I figured with everything going on, I wasn't going to get to talk about every game I've been playing. So I threw in the ones that I'm less likely to talk about. But so let's get started. And
okay.
Since we've only done this once before, if you forgot what Topic Thunderdome is, I've got these cards in front of me. I wrote down all the topics. I'm going to pull two out randomly. Harvey is going to choose one, and we're going to talk about it for a little bit and then just move on to the next one. Just keep going. Just like general summaries, a little bit of everything.
Okay. So get your news real quick.
Yeah. And whatever he doesn't pick, we don't talk about. We just move on.
We should keep it in the pool, or we just throw it out? And
We don't do this frequently enough. Yeah, we don't frequently enough do it. And also, like, by the time the next time we do it rolls around, it may not be news. I like keeping it fresh every time, because last time we did, like, things we'd talked about before.
Yeah.
This is news articles. So maybe we can do this just in, like, different subjects.
Change up where the Thunderdome occurs.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So first up in the Thunderdome, Death Stranding and Fallout 76.
Both two older topics. I don't know what's new about either one other than one's come out. What the hell did Fallout 76 do? Why is it here? I need to know.
All right. So Fallout 76, Bethesda released a new thing called Fallout First. And it's basically a premium membership where on top of the original game, if you pay, I think something like $12 to $15 a month.
Okay.
So like an MMO subscription.
Yeah.
You get access to extra perks like a private server, an unlimited stash box. You get a nice little icon that goes above your character to let you know you're a premium member.
This seems all cosmetic so far.
I mean, content-wise, private servers is something that people have been asking about for a while, because like I guess the way it works now previously is that they're just kind of like generated. So like you can't keep a server for just your friends, or like if you want to play single player and not interact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So The other thing was the unlimited stash box, where like before, like you had a limited amount of space that you could keep your items that you had found. And so two funny things happened out of this.
Okay.
First is that the unlimited stash box was bugged. And so all the people that paid for it, putting stuff in it, the stash box deleted everything.
Classic Bethesda at this point. Oh, that's it was why are they still trying to profit off the 76ers?
I mean, people bought it because the people that do play it wanted that unlimited stash.
But and they then haven't the, they seen like Bethesda has literally like poisoned its customers. How much more can they do?
And so the other and so yeah, so that was the first thing, just like random bugs that is just stupid like usual. Then the second thing is that class warfare now has started within the game because the people who don't have the premium tag have been ganging up and killing the people that do have the Fallout First tag. So like
I love this.
So like the peasants have come up against the ruling class
because you get now a like, shiny icon that yeah, says I'm privileged.
Yeah, and so they just go around and kill those people to the point that now the first people have started like an aristocracy where they like have their own city and like have bunched together to defend themselves against the peasants.
This is fascinating. So we've actually created like roving bandits that go and like, oh, who has resources? Who doesn't,
yeah,
and like isolates and robs the rich. And now the rich have to band together against those stupid, beastly proletarians. Oh, wow.
Fallout 76, man. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I thought we would have one talk on Fallout 76. Oh, they did something stupid with the alcohol bottle. Let's move on.
Nope. This just keeps amazing. Coming going.
Okay.
All right. Fortnite and Dead Cells.
Again, like, I feel out of the loop. I'm trying to guess. Fortnite 2 was created.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not what you're going to talk about. Dead Cells. Because right. Why is that in the news?
So, there was an article that was ran recently by Patrick Klepek on the site Vice Gaming. It's called The Ambitious Future of Dead Cells is Ditching Co-ops for Capitalism. And I recommend it because it's a good read and has some very interesting quotes from the head guy at Dead Cells. But essentially what they've done is Motion Twin, which is the company behind Dead Cells, was being run as a co-op. So equal pay, equal status, no managers, whatever, like equity among everyone working at the company. But they realized it wasn't working in being able to keep up with updates for Dead Cells. So they've spun off and made a second company that they've called Evil Empire that is going to be run as a standard capitalist sort of hierarchy, managers with employees. And so Motion Twin as a co-op is moving on to make new games, while Evil Empire is going to run like the games as a service updates and DLC and things for Dead Cells.
It seems like with a name like Evil Empire, they're kind of being tongue-in-cheek about this.
Right.
But they're finding it successful.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're being tongue-in-cheek about it, but they're also just kind of like, well, we're doing the capitalist thing because co-op isn't working right for this particular situation.
Oh.
Like, it's interesting. I found it fascinating. The article itself is great. You should read that if you have a chance to.
What's the article again?
It's called The Ambitious Future of Dead Cells is Ditching Co-ops for Capitalism, and it's by Patrick Klepek on Vice Games. For more information, if you wish. Moving on, we have the Extra Life DDoS and The Last of Us 2.
So I know what happened with the Extra Life thing a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad, but so far I've picked everything capitalist, so let's just keep going with this. Lonely Thunderdome. What happened with the DDoS? Why did it happen?
So they don't actually know who did it yet. It was probably just assholes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know, Extra Life is a charity that runs for, I think it's cancer. Mm-hmm. And like every year there's a specific like weekend where streamers do like 24-hour streams and any donations they get go to Extra Life and go to this charity. And it's supposed to be a very feel-good weekend, gamers doing good things. And the charity is open 365 days a year. But like this particular weekend, it was this past weekend, was when they get the brunt and majority of their donations through all the different live streamers doing these events. And somebody DDoS'd them while this was going on, to like the point that people
one group or like
they think it was a group of just assholes.
But like, who did they DDoS?
So they DDoS'd the Donor Drive, which is the platform that Extra Life uses for its fundraising
portal. So I was like, oh, if you get rid of one streamer, you can't stop the signal.
Yeah, they weren't DDoSing a streamer. They were DDoSing the actual platform and stuff that people use. Even used.
Worse, yeah.
Yeah, so like no one could get through for donations, and everyone was kind of pissed off about it, and everyone was complaining because they wanted to donate.
Yeah.
And so it kind of sucks because like, the damage was done. Like, for a majority of the time, people couldn't get in and do payments for this. So they've been updating and being like, it's started to work again. People can donate. Some donates went through multiple times, mm-hmm. and they're working with to make sure people didn't over, like, extend and things like that. But yeah, right now we don't know who did it, but they're jerks. And
no one's claimed, like...
Yeah, no one claimed anything as far as we know.
I was like, because yeah, this seems like a very feel good. There's no like group that seems like it would want to target like cancer patients.
The internet chaos hive mind, you know, people who just want to see the world burn.
Sadly.
Yeah. So next up is esports shows and Luigi's Mansion.
Okay, I'm curious because I know you've been playing it. Let's jump over to something lighter. Luigi's Mansion.
Cool. So Luigi's Mansion is actually super fun. There isn't any specific news I want to share. It's just I've been playing it. It's a very lighthearted and fun game that stars Luigi, and he's in a haunted mansion, and you have to suck up ghosts like a Ghostbuster.
And it's Luigi's Mansion 3. Yes. This is his third time doing this. Yeah,
this is his third time getting stuck in a mansion and having to hunt ghosts.
Okay.
He's not very happy.
He
about
should
it.
Be like a seasoned pro at this point.
No, he's Luigi. He's always scared. but it's great. He has like a little a ghost friend called Polterpup, which is an adorable little ghost dog. The bosses, each, like, you go floor by floor, and each floor has a boss. It's very, like, standard game level sort of way that works. And the floors are amazing. The bosses are fun. The only thing that I don't really like about it is that you're collecting money, but you don't really have anything to do with the money. So, like, it's fun to suck up everything in a room with your vacuum and get all this money, but, like, you don't do anything with it.
Is it like the old Mario games where like 100 coins gives you a life or something?
Nope. You just keep collecting it and the number keeps going up. You can use it to buy locations of gems, which are like the collectibles. Okay. Because there's like 6 gems on each floor, and if you get enough money, you can like use money to buy the location so you know where they are.
But you could also just find
them. So it's overall, it's a very cute and fun game. It's like lighthearted in comparison to all the other stuff I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend it. I don't have much more to say about it other than what I just said. So that's why I put it in here instead of...
Got it. There. Instead of making it a full 20 minute thing.
Next up, Overwatch World Cup and Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Kind of want to hear about the World Cup. I'm interested.
Okay.
I think, did we win?
Yeah, US won.
We're number one.
So in, I don't want to say irony, but I don't know the right word I'm looking for, but the final two competing for the gold medal was USA versus China.
Ooh.
Which because of the Blizzard controversy and everything that went on with BlizzCon, which we're actually going to talk about fully in a little bit. We're going to talk about Overwatch 2 and BlizzCon in after this is over with. But the Overwatch World Cup is just real quick. Like, USA beat China for the gold. USA beat South Korea for the first time. South Korea is the champion 3 years running. Every Overwatch World Cup they've won so far. So the fact that the U.S. beat them in the semifinals was a big deal. South Korea beat France for the Bronze Cup. Netherlands and Denmark were two of the teams that... Netherlands and Denmark are the same thing.
Netherlands, Amsterdam.
No, Netherlands and Holland and then Denmark are different. Okay.
Dutch.
Netherlands and Denmark are different, but they were both good teams in this World Cup. Sorry. Mm-hmm. My geography is failing me. Yeah. So USA. Go USA.
We're USA. Number one. Yay.
And the last one. It's funny these two ended up together because they were the most tangentially related to gaming as we know it. The Washington Nationals and Deadspin.
I was going to ask, actually, if we wanted to talk about the Nationals, because baseball is a game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Nationals won the World Series. Woo! So we're just celebrating the U.S. and then the Nationals went in. Our local team did something. Yay!
So, controversy time.
Oh, yeah. They
how do we feel about the Trump hats and everything? Can we cancel the Nationals?
No, I'm not going to cancel the Nationals. Our fans were in the right place because they booed Trump.
Yes. And we booed, well, the fans booed Trump. But then, as always, the select few went to the White House and not just like, oh, yes, we'll be here.
Suzuki was the worst. He actually put on the cap and was like, yay, Trump.
And he got like awkwardly hugged.
It looked like the Titanic thing.
Yeah,
like, it was a little weird. Yeah, but I'm happy that the Nationals won. A lot of my friends are big Nats fans, and our Halloween party was during like game 4 of the World Series, and everyone was sad because we lost that one.
It was an exciting series.
Yeah, it was an exciting series.
Like
home wins. Yeah. Set a record. It was the first time all 7 games were won by road on the road. So like it's the first time it's ever happened, I think, across any of the 4 main sports.
Oh.
And then the 2 stars might not come back next year, so we'll see.
That's always the case, it feels like.
Yeah, like we finally got a team that made it to the end, and then we're going to see our 2 star players walk away, maybe. We don't know for sure yet. But
Strasburg?
Strasburg and Rendon are both, their contracts can be negotiated, and like they can become free agents if they want to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Topic Thunderdome. Hope you enjoyed it. We got some rapid fire news out there, covered a bunch of topics. So let's quickly dive into BlizzCon, which I wanted to talk about as our ongoing coverage of the Blizzard Hong Kong controversy. And then they announced Overwatch 2. They also announced Diablo 4, which might be of more interest to you.
I watched the trailer for Diablo
4. I said Diablo 4. But both of those, I think at earliest we're going to see Overwatch 2 maybe at the end of next year at earliest. Diablo seems like it's at least 2 years out according to how they've been referring to it.
Okay.
But this just seemed like, both these announcements seemed like they needed to rush out good press, not because of the Hong Kong situation.
No.
But because of the Diablo Immortal announcement from last BlizzCon. Where they ended their big keynote with a mobile game of Diablo. And I think we covered that when it happened.
Yeah.
And so they got such bad press at that BlizzCon that this was probably like we have to have something to show people that to get people excited.
And from the layperson's thing, it felt like when BlizzCon happened, people like stopped talking about the Hong Kong thing and got super excited.
Yeah.
And so did Blizzard succeed by literally just showing more shiny new things.
I feel like they did a little bit, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, I was so hopeful that it wouldn't do that, but then everyone just fucking lost their shit at Diablo 4.
Yeah. I mean, it looks pretty. I watched the trailer.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, there were protests at the BlizzCon outside. Like, a lot of people wearing Winnie the Pooh costumes and Free Hong Kong and all that good stuff. I think it was the CEO, some really high up person, pretty sure it was the CEO, made an apology to start the keynote. But it was a very air quotes apology. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't reference Hong Kong by name. He just said the problem or the situation or whatever. And it was like a very much like we acted wrong. We'll do better in the future. Like there wasn't an actual like, well, the guy's still banned, you know, the casters are still banned. No indication of what they're going to do to change things in the future. So a lot of people felt it was a very empty apology, but a lot of people were like, yes, he said something. Okay, now we can be excited for Diablo 4.
Now we can enjoy this without guilt.
Yeah, like the fact that he said something for a lot of people was just kind of the thing that allowed them to, yeah.
Yeah.
The internet. I'm not happy about it. But to be positive, sort of, Overwatch 2, they announced that what Overwatch 2 is going to be is an addition to Overwatch, basically. If you have Overwatch already, which I do, mm-hmm. And all you don't want to play PvE, then you'll still get all the new Overwatch 2 content in terms of maps and heroes and game modes.
Okay.
Supposedly, according to what they're saying, is you'll get all this new, like, characters and maps, because that's what they said from the beginning, is that Overwatch, you're never going to have to pay for new characters, and they don't want to, like, split the base.
Yeah.
So anyone who has Overwatch will be upgraded or whatever and get all that new stuff. But the main draw of Overwatch 2 as a separate buy is co-op campaigns with, like, new story, like, taking the Overwatch story forward, because a lot of people, for the past basically 3 years since Overwatch has existed, everyone's like, we love these characters, give us the story. And, like, what we're doing, we like playing with them, but there's no story in these multiplayer matches. And then they, like, drip feed lore. They'll do, like, 8-minute videos of, like, D.Va here or Bastion there. And
I will admit, like, I love watching them because they're all so great. Entertaining, but it's not part of the original game.
Yeah, it's not part of the game. And also, they're all, like, flashbacks.
Yeah.
There's nothing propelling the story forward. And it's fucking hilarious that you look at the timeline and, like, the intro of Overwatch where Winston calls all the people in is, like, the new latest thing on the timeline, and then Overwatch 2, and, like, all the other shit happens before that. So, like, literally no forward momentum in story has happened from 2016 to 2019.
Yeah.
But the Overwatch 2 cinematic trailer was really cool, and, like, I hated myself for getting emotional over it, because I was, like, angry about the Blizzard Hong Kong stuff still, and then I'm like, but this is so awesome.
I thought for a moment, this is the one where, like, Winston and May and all them go to, like, France.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought for a moment that they were going to just kill May down.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh my god, they're actually killing May off in this cutscene.
As, like, an ultimate fuck you.
That would have been hilarious. But no, she's still alive. Yes. May still exists. A couple streamers. Seagull was one of them. Stratus, who is a Overwatch player from Washington Justice, was another one. Got to play the new mode and one of the alpha campaign missions, essentially. The campaign co-op mission looks like a souped-up version of the PvE they've already had in the game for, like, events. So I'm not super excited about it. I might not get the PvE stuff. The new mode is interesting, though. It's called Push, and it takes place on a symmetrical map, and there's a robot that pushes your team's thing towards the other team's goal area. And, like, if you have control of the robot, he'll walk the right direction. But if, like, your team dies, the other team takes over, the robot walks back and then starts pushing the other thing in the opposite direction. So it's whoever gets their thing pushed the furthest, or if you push it all the way to the end. But yeah, so it's, like, kind of like a payload, but not exactly, like, mm-hmm. because the thing that's important is the thing being pushed. And, like, you can, if things get pushed far enough away, like, you can have the robot stuck in the middle because both teams are fighting, uh-huh. and the robot isn't, neither thing is moving because the robot's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It'll be good for tiebreakers. I really want to see how it looks in, like, professional play, because it's very different from a lot of the other modes.
I'm picturing, like, a sports field, like, an empty map.
It's a little bit like that. There's a lot of, like, flanking options. In Overwatch League, the way most things work is it's team fights. You know, it's like 6v6, and then one team wipes out the other team, payload moves for a little while, or, like, they mm-hmm. have control for a little bit, and then it's another 6v6. This one, like, you might have to regroup and do, like, a 6v6 occasionally, but, like, it almost feels like if you lose, like, two battles in a row, the map's over with.
Mm-hmm.
If you steamroll a team, like, it finishes very quickly.
So you don't want to get into a 6v6 and somebody wipes. You want to stay alive.
Yeah, you want to stay alive. It feels more like it. this is just my opinion based on the couple matches I watched from streamers, but it feels like it'll reward guerrilla tactics a little more, mm-hmm. like hit and runs and like picking people off, whittling them down until you can get an advantage, instead of just waiting for like the big team fights. Because if you don't win those fights, you're basically screwed. Like one or two fights and it's over. Maybe I think three fights total. But yeah, so I'm interested to see what happens out of it. I'm probably not going to pay more money for it unless the PvE looks awesome. But right now it just looks like a...
Have they introduced new characters? There was an Echo, but I don't know if she's
been... So Echo, it was in like the cinematic and is like in like the key art for it and everything. So everyone assumes she's going to be one of the characters. We think she's going to be released before Overwatch 2 comes out. She's going to be like in the next Overwatch character. There's also Sojourn, who is going to be the first black female character, which a lot of people have been asking for. But she is definitely an Overwatch 2 character, so she's not going to be out before the game is out. But those are the two we know of so far. And there's also... there was like a little news story where someone got to see like four silhouettes of four other characters that are going to be in Overwatch 2. So it seems like when Overwatch 2 comes out, it's going to be a big update with a lot of new maps, a lot of new characters all at once. But that begs the question, what is the content for Overwatch going to look like until Overwatch 2 comes out? Because if we're like over a year out and we don't get anything new in Overwatch...
Are we like, just supposed to wait? But then at the same time, do you want to buy stuff if you know you're going to get two for sure?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's it's weird. They're in a weird place with this, like announcing it and then like it being like a year out. Especially with like the Overwatch League, you got to keep it fresh for people. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think as long as they tie it into the league, like giving maps or things for the league to do, that's like their greatest way to promote the stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see.
All right, so we're gonna take a short break, not break, but we're gonna go to the hat, the cauldron of power, the manifest destiny. No, we're not. That's not what that is. Make me a gamer minute, because we didn't come up with a new name for it yet. I put a bunch of games in a hat. I'm gonna talk about something. Okay. Harvey Z has his own little game,
which is, do I know the system? Do I know the game? No, still the streak continues. I have yet to recognize a single game or guess what system it might be from. This just feels weird. This is incredibly twisted Shadow Planet. I take it it's a game.
It is a game, yes. Do you want to guess what system it's for? Do you want to?
I always will guess like it's a computer game. It feels like a Steam game.
It might be on Steam. I'm not sure. I played it on the 360.
Okay.
It was a 360 indie game. It might be on Steam. I actually don't know. It might have been a 360 exclusive. But most Microsoft stuff came to Windows too. So anyway, look for it. It's kind of like you're playing as like a little spaceship and you're on an incredibly twisted shadow planet. Like everything is kind of black and there are like tentacles. And it's almost like it's very... much similar to like a Metroidvania, but you're in a spaceship.
Okay.
I want to like, I need to, I normally I do things off the cuff, but I want to make sure I'm describing this one right. So I'm going to look it up a little bit.
When you described it, I was like, oh, you're in a spaceship in space, but no, you're on a,
you're on a planet. It's described as a shooter puzzle game.
Wasn't expecting the word puzzle in there.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Metroidvania. You explore around, you get new abilities and stuff to unlock areas in the planet. Everything is like shadowy and tentacly and kind of, you know,
twisted.
Yeah, you navigate like it's four directional movement, or actually eight directional movement, I think.
Okay.
And lots of directional movement where like you're a spaceship, so there's no like jumping or platforming, but it's like it's shooter and similar to like things like R-Type or Gradius, or it's not quite Bullet Hell, but it was super fun. It's up there with like Bastion as one of the first couple indie games that I ever got, and or not got, but really like drew me into the indie
sphere. That's always what I'm curious is, like, why is it in the hat?
Yeah, that's why it's in the hat. It was okay. It was a good indie game on the 360. It is apparently on Steam as well. It has multiplayer. I think I don't remember if I ever actually did the multiplayer because I couldn't get anyone to ever play it with me.
But you beat the game?
Yeah, I beat it. It was good. It's not a long game. I think it was like 4 to 5 hours.
Oh, okay.
But it was fun. It was also an interesting take on Metroidvania before Metroidvania became everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of games use Metroidvania in some way now, and this one was like an interesting not platformer Metroidvania before they were a thing. So I recommend it. It came out in 2011, so it's, God, 8 years.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
You're old, boomer. You're old.
No, I am not a boomer. I am a millennial.
Okay, boomer.
You had to get that in there, didn't you?
I had to. I love it now. Oh, it's so good.
Well, we're not going to talk about boomers. So I have a game. We didn't talk about Disco Elysium last time because you went on for like 30 minutes about Fire Emblem. But I'm going to making the same mistake twice and letting you talk for a little bit about Overland.
Oh, I was going to say, no, you should treat me like Disco Elysium. Let me wait and run out of time on Overland. You should talk about Disco Elysium because otherwise we've teased it twice.
No, I mean, how much do you have to say about Overland?
I have not planned anything, so I don't know. So it could go short or long unless you will cut me off at some point.
Let me talk about Disco Elysium first, yes, then. Yeah, let's... But you have been playing a new game that's not Fire Emblem. And I didn't want to mention that, at least.
Yes, so now for those keeping track at home, Switch games I own, two. Two is the number. I was saying, like, five, I think, maybe, for a while, but... Like,
and you still haven't got... You're still getting Children of Morta, which is going to be number three. It's been delayed till
like, November 20th or number 22nd, I think. But yeah, it's pre-ordered. It's done.
And you want to get Slay the Spire, right?
It's on the list. I'm waiting for it to go on sale.
Okay.
That's why I was looking around.
So that's four. So, like, does that mean you'll only ever get one more game?
That's my worry, is I don't know how long of a timeline. Maybe I should have said, like, five by the end of the year, but I was thinking, like, five for a while, actually. Like, ever. So I'm surprised.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Who will make the fifth cut?
Pokemon comes out.
I'm not doing Sword and Shield. I've already decided that. No. I gotta... But there's so many good games. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. All right, so Disco Elysium. I wrote a review for it. That's up on my writing blog at tmanwrites.com if you want to take a look. It wasn't super spoilery. It had a little bit of stuff in there. So did you read it by chance?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I just want to know where I'm coming from in terms of how much I need to talk about. So Disco Elysium is a game. It was originally called No Truce with the Furies.
Very different sounding name.
Yeah. It starts off with a quote that I'm going to try to bring up here that explains why it was called that. Give me just a second.
Is it available on the Switch?
Not right now.
So it's not going
to be. They've talked about bringing it to consoles next year. But I think they've only mentioned PS4 and Xbox. I don't think they've talked about a Switch port.
Okay. So I take it it's a Steam game.
Yeah, it's a Steam game. I got it on the PC. All right. So it starts off with a quote. The Furies are at home in the mirror. It is their address. Even the clearest water, if deep enough, can drown. By R.S. Thomas.
Deep. Yeah. I like it.
So Disco Elysium is a game. It's an RPG. It's very similar to... Planescape Torment, which is a game that was primarily dialogue-based, like a lot of stuff. You had, like, abilities and everything, but most of what you did was talking. There was some combat, but the majority of why people love that game is in the writing and the dialogue and that sort of thing. Disco Elysium takes the dialogue stuff up to 11. There is no combat in the normal sense of the word in the game. There is action that happens based on things you say or things you choose to do, but you're not like hitting A to block, or like, you know, B fires your gun and X reloads or whatever. It's like you chose to punch a person. It rolls your skill check. If you pass a skill check, you hit them. If you fail it, you like fall on your ass.
Does it give you new dialogue options based on probably
your... Yes. So okay. Like, what happens, you know, failures and things like that. So trying to think of where to start with this, because I love this game. Like, it was amazing. It's a wonderful RPG. You start off, you wake up in a hotel room with a hangover. You have no memory of who you are or what you're doing. And over the course of the game, you kind of figure out fairly early on, you figure out you're a detective and you're in this small town called Martinez. It's a district with like dock workers and things like that. And you're there to investigate a murder. There's a body that's hanging out on the back of the hotel that you've been staying at. It's been there for a week. No one knows why you haven't gotten it down yet, because you're the detective. You're supposed to be detecting. You don't remember because you got there. And
this is a terrible situation for a detective to be in.
Yeah. Like,
forget everything.
Yeah, you've forgotten everything. You don't know what's going on. And your partner from another precinct, it's like a joint operation, shows up and he's like, get your shit together. And then you guys start investigating based off of you're trying to figure out who you are, what the hell happened. You've lost your badge, you've lost your gun, you don't know what your name is, you don't know what you've investigated already. But they trust that
you're the detective.
But people, all the other people around are like, yeah, you're the detective.
Ah.
Like, you've been around here, you've just been drinking yourself to death for like the last 3 days.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's the setup for the story. And so you're doing investigations, you're trying to figure out who you are and where all your shit is, why you drank yourself into a stupor. The main mechanic of the game is there's four sets of skills. There's intellect, psyche, God, I can't remember the third one. Something like strength or like constitution or something like that, and motorics. And so like intellect is left brain sort of things. Psyche is right brain. The strength one is kind of like it's not called psyche because that's anyway, physical stuff. There's physical stuff. And then there's just dexterity essentially. And you get 12 points to divvy up from the beginning of the game. And those are your stats for the game. Like, you don't level up these base stats in these four categories. What you do level up is within each category, there's 6 more skills. So there's a total of 24 skills.
Okay.
That you can level up every time you get experience through dialogue and finishing tasks and whatnot. Each one of these skills manifests as a voice in your head. So, like, each skill has its own personality. Like, electrochemistry, which is in the physical attribute section, is your desire to do drugs, desire to get laid, like, all that kind of, hey, man, let's the id sort of, like, let's drink that alcohol, do that cocaine. And he's, you know, like, hyper, like, yeah, come on, let's do this. And then there's logic, which is the reasonable guy who's, like, maybe you shouldn't listen to electrochemistry. Like, come on, let's figure this out without using drugs. And then there's drama, who is a drama queen. There's empathy, which is very touchy-feely. There's volition, who is like the main kind of, not logic, but kind of the, God, what's the reason, I guess.
Okay.
Like, not like emotional reason, not like intellectual.
Motivation.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Then there's hand-eye coordination, there's composure, there's one called interfacing, which is basically like you talk to machines.
Okay.
Like, so like this guy's like, yeah, the metal feels good and you can hear the electronics, like that sort of thing.
Okay.
There's Inland Empire, which I believe is a direct reference to Twin Peaks, and that's talking to inanimate objects. So that's like you're kind of like head in the clouds, like what does the mailbox say to me? Like, what is this?
Okay.
Like, and so there's all these different things. And as you level up, you get to choose like where you put these points. And as you're playing the game is constantly rolling passive checks in every conversation you do, every action you take. And if you fail these passive checks, you don't hear anything. But like, if you pass these random passive checks, like you, these voices will chime in and like give their opinion on stuff. And so that what you choose to focus on are the those voices will start coming up more and more often because you're putting points into them, and it's easier for them to pass the checks.
And so that's why, like, because I was like thinking, oh, just make everything a four. You're an average Joe. But if you were like super specialized in like reason or so, your logic might be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
It would have a better chance of success on those mm-hmm. versus the average Joe who had the reason skill or such.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you're more likely to get certain things versus others. And
you certainly couldn't max everything out by the end of the game.
No. God, no. Like, I barely had... I had... Let me check and see...
So there's replayability.
Yeah, there's definite replayability. Like, I didn't have anything in any of the physical ones by the end of the game. Like, I was... Oh, no, I didn't even take a picture of my final stats sheet. I was, like, taking little screenshots every now and then. But, like, I had, like, an 8 in Inland Empire. Because, like, I went Psyche as my main one.
Uh-huh.
So I had, like, 8 in Inland Empire, 6 in Suggestion, 5 in Empathy, 5 in Volition... And then I had like 2 in endurance, 2 in physical instrument, 3 in electrochemistry, 2 in composure. So like I was also not very smart. I had like 2 in logic, 2 in rhetoric, 3 in drama. Uh-huh. So like I was like a very touchy-feely sort of detective
uh-huh.
with a like I purposefully chose all the things that made me talk to other things that weren't people. So like Inland Empire made me talk to objects. The interfacing made me talk to machines. There's conceptualization, which is like imagination and like putting stuff together. There's shivers, which is lets you like the touches the city, you know, uh-huh. like the beneath the feet, you hear the city speaking to you sort of thing.
Very noir.
Yeah, very noir.
Okay.
And it's such a good game. Like the writing is phenomenal. Each of these voices inside your head is great. All the actual human characters are great. The way the game works is there's white checks and red checks in addition to all these passive checks. White checks are things you can repeat, but you can only repeat them if you put a point into the skill that you need to use to get the check. So like if you fail an electrochemistry check, for example, and it's a white check, then you have to come back to it once you've put something into electrochemistry. Like, you have to use one of your skill points once you get enough experience
mm-hmm.
to upgrade that stat and try again. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it again. Then there's red checks, which are one-time only checks. You either pass or you fail them, and the story moves on based on mm-hmm. whether you did it or not. And it's fun. It's very political. Like, there's communism and liberalism, fascism. Can be a sorry cop. If you apologize too much, you unlock this thought that, oh, there's the thought cabinet, which is basically perks. And they're like intrusive thoughts that if you think on them enough, they give you different bonuses.
Uh-huh.
And so like one of them is I apologize too much. So I got this thought called rigorous self-critique,
uh-huh.
which I believe expanded. What did it expand? I don't remember. Something to do with like empathy, I believe. Like I got more empathy out of it. One of the tasks is sing karaoke because like I had Inland Empire and I talked to the microphone and the microphone talked back and Inland Empire is like, you have to sing. You can feel it. Like this microphone needs to be sung into. And so there's this, you just have a task and like you have to find a recording of your song that you want to sing and like, and then I got up there and killed it on stage, but it took me like 2 days to find everything I needed for it.
Like to find an actual like cassette to sing to or something?
Yeah. No, well, like you needed a recording of like the backing to like sing over for the karaoke. Okay.
So like it gives you a mission. It's not just a go over here and push A or something, but like do this stuff to accomplish this goal.
One of the things that really stood out to me was the fact that the game... Normally in RPGs and like what you did in Fire Emblem is you want to talk to everyone and do everything. You want to see every line of conversation. You want to like got to see everything. But that's sometimes bad in this game. Like the example I used in my blog post was I went into a store and there's a raincoat on the desk or like on the shelf or whatever. And I have the option to steal it, but I also have the option to ask the store clerk, how much does the raincoat cost? And after I asked the store clerk that, my check to steal it has gone, like I've got a minus one to that check because now the clerk is paying attention to the raincoat because I've asked about it. And so like those sort of things keep happening. Like if you go through every dialogue option, sometimes you'll get bonuses. Like you asked about this and you have plus one because you have this information.
So it shows the pluses. Well,
yeah, it shows you plus and minus, like what is going to do if you try to attempt this check.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that really stood out to me was first time playing it. Like what I decided is I'm going to be like this kind of head in the clouds guy who like talks to objects and isn't like is like kind of touchy feely. And also he was gonna try and get sober because this was a scary moment for him. So my role playing was he's not gonna do drugs. He's not gonna drink any more alcohol because he just drank himself so hard he forgot everything. So he's gonna stick to the straight and narrow now. And day one, I walk up to this guy who's passed out at the bar because I need his ID tag, and electrochemistry pops in, and he's like, there's a bottle of beer right there. You should drink it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, yeah, but it'd be good. You like alcohol. You should find some booze and drink it. And then with no control for me, fucking task pops up for me to complete. It says, drink booze. Like that's the task.
Yeah. Can you ignore the tasks?
I mean, yes, you can ignore it, but there's the completionist, like,
it puts
it on there for you. And like, from a gaming mentality, it's like, all I got to do is drink it once.
It's just one.
Yeah. I can get the experience. Like, yeah. I need the experience for the skill points. Like, I just got to do it once, right? Like, and so it was this amazing sort of moment for me, like, no. He is not drinking. And like that fucking drink booze thing was on my menu for the entire rest of the game. Me and having to be like, man, you know, you just need 10 experience to get to the next level. And you really need a skill point. Just go have some booze, man.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, that was the thing that one of the things that really stuck with me. It was just phenomenal the way they used the gaming experience on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's such a good game. Like this and Fire Emblem are gonna be duking it out for Game of the Year, in my opinion. Like I have to decide. Like this was 20 hours of just amazing writing and dialogue and really feeling the RPG, and then there's my 110 hours that I've put into teaching kids and battling on strategic tiles and all that good stuff. But we'll see, because it's only a month and a half until the manatees. We're getting close.
Oh, that's right. Manatees 2.0.
And you've got you've played two games. Which you actually have to make a choice. Maybe even three when Children of Morta comes out.
That's true. I'm trying to think. I was thinking for a moment, had I played anything else this year?
You've probably played something, maybe?
I guess I could throw like a Man of...
Toe Jam and Earl.
Did it come out this year?
Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl was out at the beginning of March.
Oh, we've got a race going now.
Yeah, that's... now you've got to...
Oh, that's hard now.
You don't own it, but you played it.
Yeah, I've beaten it twice now.
Yeah. Do we have time to go over Overland?
It's been an hour, so we have...
You know what? Why don't we flip the script a little bit. Let's do Harvey Z's Game of the Week instead of T-Man's Game of the Week.
Okay.
Because I gave that to Disco Elysium last time we talked, and I don't want to do it a second time. So we'll do a little special Harvey Z Game of the Week. Tell me about Overland.
So Overland, Switch game, made by... We'll pause here.
Or will we?
We should. Made by Finji. Released September 2019 for the Switch, PlayStation, you know, the yada, yada, yada. So Finji is the company. There's a dude named Adam. He's also credited as a developer. But I don't know why. Like, I'd heard about it, actually. It was on my wish list because it was described as a turn-based game, XCOM, And, like, if you like XCOM, you'll like this. And it seemed interesting in a minimalistic way.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I don't know if you've
I've looked at, like, the graphics, and I've heard people talk about it and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a fun game. It's super fucking hard. Like, as you may have surmised from me, like, I've been playing it repeatedly. There's 5 levels. I've only on level 2. The premise of the game. So, Overland, it just starts off. That's the other thing I'm not used to is, like, I like instruction manuals. I came with, like, instruction manuals and, like, starting things. This one, they give you the intro level. There's no actual, like, descriptions, and you gotta, like, figure things out. And, like, so now, in retrospect, you couldn't die on the first level. But, like, there's suspense and there's drama because you watch a character die, but he's, like, on the other side of the map. Like, the monster couldn't actually hurt you, but you get to see the monster kill the guy. And, like, he's like, run, go, start your quest, basically. The premise, you start off on the East Coast, you're a person, you have access to a vehicle that requires gas, and your goal is to get to the West Coast of the United States.
Seems reasonable.
Divided up into, like, 5 territories, and so, like, level 1 is all East Coast, and then level 2 is a little bit more inland and so forth until you get all the way to, I think, level 5 might be the beach.
Gotcha.
It does a lot of things right, which is every time you create a character or start up a game, you're assigned a new random character. It's either a boy or a girl. You don't really choose anything, but they come with little things like this is their name and like 1 to 2 personality traits unrelated to the game, but like was an ex-graphic designer, hates her mother, is looking for her child. And I'm like, is this part of the story? I don't know. But like, it just has, that's all your character is. And then if you click on them, sometimes they actually have little perks or feats that actually add to it. This character can throw stronger. This person is good at scavenging. This person can hold an extra item. But again, as you encounter and go through the maps, you might encounter other people. Some are friends, some are foe. And it's just meeting people and figuring this out. The premise of each level, you just need to get in your car and get to the end of the road. Like, turn on your car, drive to the end. If there's stuff blocking it, you got to get the shit out of the way. And if you just simply get in your car and drive, gas becomes like the resource.
Gotcha.
Each level, you turn on your car and you go, and then you go to a map screen. And basically each next level is 2 choices they give you with the distance to it. And your car can hold a maximum of 10 gas, and it's like 3 to this stop, but we could go to a gas station and it's 1 away. Then there's the next map and it's 5 to go rescue somebody to maybe get a new party member, or you can play it safe and go 2 here, and it's just like scavenging stuff. And you go through these several choices, picking basically, and it's roguelike, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end is a roadblock map to escape whichever place you're at, which is, you know, your road is going to be blocked. It's going to require a lot of stuff to, like, move things out of the way. Now, the hard part is, like, the enemies are very minimalistic, and I didn't realize in the first level, they just simply moved 1 space at a time, and then they took 1 turn to attack you. So, like, you could treat this like a puzzle game, figure out, like, you can move 2 spaces to evade the enemy and, like, scavenge, because you want to go to trash cans, you want to find as much shit as you can to get either weapons, supplies, but then the problem is, each character holds like 1 or 2 things. This is where it got like XCOM hard, because if you attack things, that makes noise. And if you make noise, new enemies pop up on the map.
Oh, geez.
And so it's such a simple concept. Enemy moves 1 space and 1 space to hit you or kill you. And like, that's the basic enemy and you could kill it. But if you kill it, more 2 enemies appear. Yeah. And then they both will walk around and they'll always track you to get closer to you as long as you make noise. If you don't move, it still knows. So they still track you in that way.
So, like, it's basically an, do you run around and, like, avoid the one that's already stalking you? Or do you take it out and then, like, make a break for it?
Yes. And that's where, and the car has, like, 2 hit points in the sense that if the enemy hits the car once, it smokes. If it hits it a second time, it's going to blow up. And this is what I quickly learned. You can then choose to make a break for it and you just run to the exit, which is the end of the road, and escape. If you exit without a car, you will go into like a death map. You don't travel like the, because it's constantly tracking how many miles you go. You go 1 mile, so you don't travel like 10, 20. And the next map is surrounded by enemies. There's a broken car usually, and a fuel tank somewhere. The broken car has no gas. You have to grab the fuel tank, go to the car, fill it up, get in the car, make sure the road is cleared, because besides the basic enemies, running them over will injure the car, and this is a broken car. Get onto the road and leave. It is only once have I successfully done this where the gas mission to like get in the car and stuff. Usually, this is what the game is so good at. I'm fucked. I start off the map and my character is just fucked. But in order to get to that point, shit had to have happened already. That's where it gets
you already really fucked up.
Yes. Like shit went wrong really badly. I barely escaped with my life. And that's why I'm in this now even worse situation. To add to it, night vision. It just gets dark. Like, over time, every couple maps, the sun goes down. And when it's dark, you can't see more than the space around you. Moving one space at a time in the dark with enemies who can only move one space at a time. But if they're next to you, you can't kill them with your bare hands. So do you keep a weapon with you at all times? And then you can protect yourself. If you hit them with the weapon, though, two appear.
And you don't know where they are because you can't see.
You'll see, actually, on the map, you'll hear. So they always echo the sound. And so... so minimalistic, so simple, and like there's only like two villains in the first level, which is enemy one, which is moves one space and kills, attacks and everything, and easy to kill. Enemy two is a two-headed version. It just has, it moves one space at a time, but it takes two hits to kill it.
Jeez.
And it's bigger, and if it dies, it blocks the road.
So you have to move it then.
So you have to drag it. Jeez. And so it's a simple puzzling game where, like, I think at this point, like, playing through it so many times, I've only encountered basically four enemies.
But you've only also only made it to level two.
I've only made it to level two yesterday. So
you can see some weird shit by the end of it.
And that's what it's amazing. Like, it's terrifying. Just four enemies, but, like, the way the variety goes and such. Like, I've encountered an enemy that's faster. It can move two spaces or it can move and attack. Fucking, and it's weak. It's still one hit to kill it. But now I have to plan, like, my guy, if I move two spaces, am I within two spaces of this thing? Because if you get hit and you take one damage, your movement bar, which is normally two, goes down to one.
Oh, jeez.
And you can use a med kit, but have you been packing a med kit? Each car has a trunk that holds one thing, unless you get a car that has a roof rack, which can hold two or three things. There's different types of vehicles. There's different weapons. There's dogs in the game. You can pet the dogs. The dogs can each have their own stats as well. Some dogs, if they're aggressive, can use that as an attack.
And so you can like pick up party members and stuff to make it easier.
And so
too.
You can only
have a certain amount of people in your car.
What if you have like a small car that only holds two people and now you've encountered a third person? I was like, oh, well, can one person walk? No, you choose to abandon them.
Oh, geez.
Then it becomes who gets to be in the car? And it's like, who has the best skills? And it tracks at the end of the game, like when you die, it shows all the people you've encountered and what happened to them. Did you kill them? Did you abandon them? Or did they come with you? And how many miles did they travel with you? If you kill somebody, I accidentally ran over somebody. And like, I didn't mean to, but I was just trying to drive the car and I ran over them. The next map, I met like a trader and they were like a person who trades stuff. And they were like, fuck no, we're not trading with you. You're a fucking murderer. We've heard about you on the radio. And I was like, oh, fuck. I can't trade for the rest of the game. I encountered a dog and I was like, hey, dog, join my party. And the dog was just bit me. And it was like, Jesus fucking Christ. And there's, again, it's so simple, but it's so great. Like playing this, I usually spend about an hour to like, if you want to get from like one point to the other, so like five levels or so, it takes about an hour's worth of time. So I'm assuming if you were successful and you started, there is an Iron Man mode on the East Coast and somehow managed to get to the end, because you can play through each level at a time instead of doing, but if you did the whole thing, probably only a 5 to 10 hour game.
Oh, cool.
But
it's multiple tries. Because
this is where the XCOM feature comes in. Like, I have characters and I can create narratives for them because I've seen what they do. The game doesn't give me that, but I'm just adding my story to it.
Well, it sounds like a game that's really up your alley.
I recommend it, actually. It is really fucking hard, but it's fun. And well, there's lots good. Of oh shit moments. Everything has gone to
how
hell.
How do I get out of this?
Do I choose to escape knowing that the game will simply give me a... you're not supposed to win this one now. Game. Oh.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad you found another game, like, just on your own. Like, this, you're becoming more of a gamer.
And it's something where, like, you didn't recommend it or anything. I did it on my own. Baby steps.
Baby steps. All right. Well, that's it. We got in a lot on this podcast. I hope we've caught up and you enjoyed it. Next week, just a little bit of sausage, but you're not going to be here next week.
But we have stuff for them.
No, there will be an episode that follows this, but we recorded it a while ago for this sort of situation. I honestly don't even remember what we talked about on it because it's been like a couple months at least since we recorded it. So who knows what's going to be in this one. Or like
parachute in case of emergency thing.
Yeah, this is like, is it break open in case of podcast sort of thing. Yeah, look out for that. We're not going to be talking about Death Stranding next week. Don't expect that.
Or maybe we will. It'll be like, oh, this new game is coming out.
Yeah, we tried to not, like when we recorded it, I believe we tried to make it like not timely. So it makes sense no matter when we do it. But yeah, who knows what we're going to get. But I hope you like it and I hope I like it because fuck if I know what we did. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
At The Z is Silent on Twitter.
You can find me at T-Man Plays Games, and you can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. As I mentioned before, you can find my writings at tmanwrites.com. And if you have a question, you can email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick shout out to Overbob. There was a question in the question bucket, we had a lot to talk about this week, so
he got bumped.
Yeah, so he sorry over Bob. We will get to that question for you next time we record. But until that next time, Harvey Z, take us out.
Fuck. I didn't.
You don't have any.
I didn't anything plan ready? Anything, or I didn't. I usually start thinking like while you start doing your thing. I didn't this time. I was just. I don't know where I was. Just
the monsters are closing in. Got to make a decision.
Beer. Drink that beer.
Wait, what?
Disco Elysium. No, crossover the games.
No.
You can make Disco Elysium jokes now. I've got to go with Overland.
It's your game. It's your brand.
Oh, okay.
It's your Over brand.
Sorry, Over Bob. You've been replaced. You've been left behind.
I overwrote him.
Yes.